that's not exactly this, but this is because you see you have to preserve this also. So this is what becomes some sample of index two. It's also the more projective orthogonal group. You take all these matrices, orthogonal matrices which preserve this quadratic form, mark scalar matrices. So this is called projective. And this is a group of motions of hyperbolic space. So when I deal with this integral structure, my group becomes really some group of orthogonal regularities. This is the definition of this whole G. Linear transformation of M to itself, so it's holomorphism, which preserves the inner product, such as this G of X, G of Y. So this is called orthogonal group of the lines. So this is the groups which appear very often in algebraic geometry. So in my colloquium lecture, I explain how do they appear. So let me explain again very quickly how do they appear, and then I giving you some really nice example. Okay, so how do they appear? Because we're dealing with this free abelian group equipped with the pairing inner product. Okay. So this is comes from, for example, topology. Because you may forget for a while algebraic geometry, just go to usual topology. So just if you have any just any smooth medium. And we assume it's even dimensional. So for example, two dimensional medium, or four dimensional medium, or six dimensional medium. What can you do? Just you can study cohomology with integer coefficient. And you can pair them. So this is the power you. So you can take my J. For example, if it's an even dimension, I can stick to middle dimensional cohomology. And then I pair to like 2k. And if you take the fundamental class of your small finite, but this whole is a more to z. If you choose the fundamental class, then just you see exactly what's here, it's exactly what you have pictured here. So just you can say, okay, this is my M. Or any smooth plane of this will be a finitely generated group. So just I deal here with free abelian groups. So just this is not a big problem. I can take this and divide it by two. Take this middle dimensional group and fill it through. Since it's finitely generated abelian group, then I divide it by two, it becomes really free. Becomes the number. And this is called the beta number. So many copies of Z, this is just a bit. Okay, now you said kind of this half product. So this is symmetric by linear form, but I don't know what the signature. Because here is in hyperbolic geometry, I deal with hyperbolic this inner product, which was conic quadratic form, has particular signature, 1 n, real Sylvester. So I have to some put conditions on X. Now this arises in the case of algebraic variety. Now I assume that not only smooth manifold, but it's just complex manifold, which definition very similar to smooth manifold on your local commons now, just like on your local complex space. Yes. Okay. And we keep the dimension, but now the dimension will be like 2m. But now this time it's a complex dimension. Of course, this example, for example, we take a two-dimensional sphere. And of course, you're going to realize the sphere as a stereographic projection, as a C, this point infinity, the Riemann sphere, compactify C by using stereographic projection. You see, but this point, you don't see it on the plane, so you have to edit and get projected.
Is your relative Do you really want the complex dimension to be even?
Yeah, yeah, still keep the complex dimension. And then just, yeah.
That's kind of an odd choice of buildings, yeah.
Yeah, because it must be, now I think this is a real main, K must be equal to N. Because, okay, the real dimension, okay.
Real dimension is even, yeah.
Becomes point. No, but then keep it in.
Okay.
I want to keep it in. Mm-hmm. We'll see the reason, just because otherwise I don't get what I want. Okay, so this example, like, this is a sphere, two dimensions. Just example that you learned about smooth manifolds. This is simply smooth manifold positive. But you can put some complex structure that it becomes complex manifold, because this is obviously has a complex structure. But in course not, you can put complex structure on a smooth manifold even on dimension. Even, for example, four-dimensional sphere doesn't work anymore. If you take like four-dimensional sphere, you can't put any complex structure, so you just don't see any complex manifold out of four-dimensional sphere. But on some smooth manifolds you can do, and then you get a very complex manifold. And I want to keep the dimension now, real dimension, four times that. In a second, you'll see the reason why. I won't do it. But I'm not satisfied even with that. So complex manifold, very difficult to see. In fact, it's impossible because complex manifold of higher dimension. There is no picture of that. But of course, all interesting examples of complex manifold are obtained as follows. Just you just invent this thing into projective space. And this will be, image will be given by algebraic equation. And there will be homogeneous equation. This is given by polynomials, which are homogeneous polynomials in the garden that you pick it up. And, but they're still complex manifold, but they're very explicit, because you can give them as a locus of solutions of certain systems of algebraic equation. And this one is called algebraic variety. This is what we study in algebraic. It's called algebraic variety. Of course, this has nothing to do with dimension. You can take any dimension. Algebraic variety. Of course, this is not any algebraic. We study more general object, algebraic general. You have to add the usual words. Projective algebraic variety. And because it's complex manifold, so it's a non-singular algebraic variety. So, this is what algebraic geometry is about. Subject of algebraic geometry, like in short, we just study geometrically, study solutions of algebraic equations. Of course, all of you who have taken course in, I don't know whether they do this, Cauchy's problem. This is called analytic geometry. This is what my ex studied mathematics. So this was taught at the same time as linear algebra and analytic geometry. This was one subject. And of course, when you go to the end of the semester, you start studying this equations is given by this, like, one equation in the homogeneous equation, and just integrate them as hyperboloid, ellipsoid, paraboloid, and so on. This is just how this subject started many, many years ago. But of course, this is now evolves into a very, very, very complicated and very difficult subject with a lot of unsolved problems. Okay, so now let's go back to this multiplication. So, so in algebraic geometry, when you put some additional structure, first complex manifold, and then algebraic manifold, then cohomology groups become equipped with very rich structure. So, for example, if you take cohomology. Complex coefficient, they become some decomposed in what's called Hodge decomposition. So I will be interested in this kind of space for just this is one of the reasons. So just look at the n-dimensional cosmology to see, and then they decompose into pieces. So just there will be one piece, but one of these pieces will become a central piece which corresponds to M. Some of here just it plus Q is equal to Q. So it's called Hodge decomposition. So just basically what it is, again, if you study topology, you study Durham theorem. which gives you a really explicit way how to compute cohomology class if you use the RAM. In the RAM cohomology, you will use differential form, something like dx1, dx2, dx3. Okay. And that just like considers differential forms of the cohomology classes, right? Exactly. And a couple of them. But in complex manifold, you can write down, you have complex cohomology. I can write it down like x1 plus i y1, zk 0 xk plus i yk. And now you can really write down this corresponding formula. You can express x, y, q, z like some bunch of disease, and then some bunch of disease bars. Okay, so just you can really write, if you pass from the real columns to complex columns and write it down form, then you can split it into disease and the bars. And of course now the differential forms, the coefficients will be complex functions, complex valid functions. And this is basically the splitting. So just this kind of part HPQ in cohomology, because cost of a cycle will be represented by this PQ differential forms. Of course this is just requires a lot of machinery, which is a really analytical machine, just a series of analytic equations to show this decomposition. It's one of the most difficult part tools which we use in algebra in general, which really come from analysis, from Hodge, or independently from physicists, which kind of developed this theory without knowing Hodge theory. And know everything, knew everything before Hodge, the physicist. So this is the Hodge theory. What I do is I will be. In this particular piece, in this half decomposition. So just all the cohomology classes, which are represented by formula, has the number of disease and the number of disease bars is just the same. So what's good about this forms? Why they're better? Why these cohomology classes are better than others? Okay, this is explained by the following thing. So because my variety is very special, it's not just smooth manifold, just complex manifold. I can look at sub-varieties of this, sub-manifolds, which also has complex structure, and takes this cohomology classes. But even if it's algebraic variety, I can even do more. In fact, you can see that it's the same. I can take classes which are represented by algebraic sub-varieties, so by something here, which is also cut out by additional number of equations. So this is particular cocycles, which we call algebraic cocycles. And so every algebraic cocycle is represented by this class. So this is just the classes plus some curves or just several. So if you look at this corresponding partial decomposition, then like here. So this is the main thing, the algebraic cycle is of type so this is very important, so this is why I'm sticking to this particular cycle. In fact, if I look at this intersection of HMM C. So when we think that just this is all the algebraic cycles, just this is the whole, this class is here all the algebraic cycles. It's not quite true, but almost true. So this is not known. This is one of the most important problems of algebraic geometry, for which you get $1 million if you solve it. It's called the hash problem. Okay, it's almost so. It means just for every class here, if you multiply by some integral and become algebraic, this is called integral Hodge conjecture. So just to somehow I can really see that my whole algebraic cycles form a special part of cohomology. And so the images of these classes, I denoted that in my lecture by NMX. And this is just called numerical lattice. And this will be lattice. Because they are not often in this intersection, they sit in these groups. spread dividend rule. So this is my M. This is the M which I will be. So this is going to be all classes, cohomology classes of my manifold, which are represented by algebraic variety of middle dimension, topological dimension. So if you like variety, for example, n is equal to 2, they're represented by curves. If n is equal to 4, they're represented by surfaces, middle dimension. Again, I have, of course, pairing here because I have pairing always here. And I want to see what's the signature on the corresponding classes if I tensor with real numbers. Okay. Now, Hodge theorem gives you also information about signature. So the tensor with signature will be.
Sorry, let me definition of numerical lattice again.
So just the image of all class of algebraic cycles in this group.
Okay, so it's the algebraic cycles.
Yeah, but now there's marginally of some equivalence because when I take the image of the kernel, because some cycle maybe just becomes homologous. And so this is really complicated. Okay, so what's Hodge theorem tells you just if you look at the corresponding vector space, it doesn't mean just you take like that. Just, for example, intersect with real now. And then vector space. And if you, and then we consider the part of this thing. It's not again enough. So what I do is, I take what's called primitive cycles. So this will be all cycles S, and I'm S, which after you cover it with a class of a hyperplane section, just say what it is, then it becomes zero. So again, there is a very particular class here. As soon as it shows you're embedding projective space. So projective space has a very special sub-variety, just hyperplane section, just new by new equation. And you consider corresponding linear space, scalar, this will be your hyperplane. And this doesn't matter which equation you think, so it's not zero, so equal to zero. Cosmologically, they're the same classes. So there's some kind of distinguished class comes from embedding. And so just you take this class of this hyperplane section and consider all vectors which are killed by multiplication. When you kill it, you go to, when you multiply a product, you go to M plus 1. And so the Hodge theorem says on this space, this is negative signature, signature is negative density. So this is a very theorem. MMX primitive is negative definite lattice. But this is where comes one more condition if M is R. So the kind of interesting case will be just the dimension of my manifold will be equal to 2M, the M is R, so this is really dense, converted to 2. If you take other M, which M is even, you get some pairing, but it's not symmetric. It's not symmetrical anymore. It becomes Q-symmetric. And of course, you can study them, but it's not, it doesn't lead you to hyperbolic geometry immediately. So this is why we have to restrict the dimension. And so kind of the smallest dimension is applies, of course, when M is equal to 1. And kind of the most studied case is the case. Like surface because it's dimension 2, but in next case you have to jump to n equal to 6 to get interesting. So if you take 4, it's good, and this, of course, the study variety of all the possible dimensions, but somehow they're not related to hyperbolic jump. Sometimes they do, but there's no any kind of systematic way to relate to it. Okay, so this is where you have to let me just. And give you a real example because.
Eva?
So,
Eva, I suggest you to give the example of S2 process 2, P1 cross P1, so everybody can see what happens.
Okay.
And the signature comes out right.
Eventually it will come up, but okay, right. But again, just before I do that, there's a. Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay, so just so. Now let me give you.
That's right.
But let me just say just one thing, and then I, of course, I wanted to jump to a little more complicated example, but okay. Okay, but so again, so what's the kind of things in hyperbolic geometry? Well, as I said, just we study discrete groups, and so how do they appear? Because this is just only explaining how the hyperbolic space appears. So now you, if you, oh, I can't explain it yet. Okay, so this lattice is a negative difference, but there is a previous thing here, which also comes from multiplication by L. And there is another very difficult theorem in algebraic geometry, it's called Hopf-Hirsch's theorem. It tells you just if you compose this map, this order is anomalous. So this is called Hopf-Hirsch's theorem. So if you compose multiplication by this class of hyperbolic section, it just this order. So on this part, so you see just this, your form maybe just has a many positive squares, so it's not maybe not hyperbolic. But if this part is equal to dimension is equal to 1, if this is just isomorphic to Z, M plus 1, sorry. Not here. Then you see the image will be just your positive thing. And our total complement of that will be just negative thing. And so this was quadratic form of signature 1, M. There's one positive square, one dimensional subspace of which is a positive. And then our total complement becomes negative. And so then just so this thing, this is happening. Then this implies that my whole space FX is hyperbolic. The hyperbolic lattice. Of course it really gives you a lot of restriction domain, but of course in case of surfaces, it's not a condition. Because this will be top cohomology class automatically. And then just so you go to so the algebraic cycles of four, and then so this is just m plus one plus m plus one or two m plus two, and this is just automatically z by Von Karajan. So then it's not a condition. So if m, and this is my of course my favorite case, algebraic surface, no condition. Automatically on all algebraic cycles, you have an example of a lattice. The hyperbolic lattice, which you can now tensor far, you get your pseudo equivalent space, and you go to hyperbolic space. And this is a hyperbolic space which you associate with any algebraic surface. For example, or manifold, there is additional condition. So, okay, so as I said, just in the beginning, we first introduced hyperbolic space, and the natural next step is just study motions of this hyperbolic space. What corresponds to motions in algebraic geometry? Of course, motions corresponds to symmetries of my algebraic parameters. So what you do just here, of course, you have any structure in mathematics, it's just you define some structure. The next step to study symmetries, study bijective map of your structure, which preserves of your object, which preserves the structure. In algebraic geometry, we consider maps of morphism between varieties, which are given locally by polynomial functions. Think this sits in some projective space, and this guy sits in some maybe other projective space. Then you try to kind of see functions which are kind of glued from functions which are given by rational functions, which are everywhere defined. And as soon as you have the notion of morphism, you have the notion of automorphism, like outer symmetry. And this is a group. So this is usually a big group, but it has it's complex group, complexly group. And it has a connected component of identity. So as every Lie group, it has a part which is just contains the origin of this group, the unit element. And the quotient by this part will be some group which is discrete. So if it's finite group, then this is just the whole group of automorphisms of algebraic or it's only just algebraic group. But it's just complex with the group, which is given by matrices satisfying some algebraic equation. But this part is just could be infinite group, and this is the most interesting part. Why is this? Because you start looking at the representation of this group on your cosmology. So if you have an automorphism of your object, for example, manifold or algebraic variety, then you see what does it do with your cycle. If you have a cycle, you might cycle to by pulling it back, and it's again cycle. And this is, gives an action on any cohomology, with any coefficient. And so totally it gives me a homomorphism from my homomorphic group. And that's, if you do it in the central component, where you can take a pair, this will give you a map to our torsional component of this class. And anyway, this is a free abelian group. So orthogonal transformation of matrices with integer coefficients. So of course this kind of discrete group. And of course this group is algebraic group. So kind of intuitively you see that a big group of positive dimension can act on the discrete set. So just so okay, you can prove that this is goes to one, so it sits in the kernel. So just you really better consider the homomorphism of the quotient group. And we just decide another effect takes the dumb or just images. And this is a discrete group. And this is my group of homomorphisms. So this is the main observation which relates hyperbolic geometry with algebraic geometry. So just I now want to visualize motions of a hyperbolic space as a symmetry of some much richer object than hyperbolic space, because it has additional structure variety. It's also algebraic variety, why the subject of algebraic geometry is notoriously difficult to study, because algebraic varieties collect all possible good structures. So they're smooth manifolds, they're complex manifolds, they're Riemannian matrices. As soon as I put them in the projective space, they acquire special metric and become Riemannian. You just name it, whatever you name it, all it happens. So if you want to study this object, you have to learn everything. You have to learn topology, because they're manifolds. You have to learn complex analysis, because they're complex manifolds. You have to learn differential geometry, because they're differential manifolds. You have to learn Riemannian geometry. And this is why this is kind of notoriously difficult. It's not that I discourage you to go into this subject, but it just gives you an idea why this subject is notoriously difficult to enter and to study, because if you really want to study something, then you have to study from all point of views, and this is very helpful. Otherwise, you will be in the darkness because you miss something.
So I'm in the business, and I know almost nothing about any of those subjects.
This is exactly how you obey the approach to study. Okay, so yes, so you see now, this is okay. This is if you really forget everything what I said before. So this is kind of the moral of it. So this is what have to remember from my lecture. So you have this purely geometrical objects like motions of hyperbolic space, which is really geometry. And then just so we relate these motions with a much more complicated object like symmetries of some different object like solutions of system of equations in projective space. Okay. Okay, so it's not kind of enough because so this is what you can take and after this one can be done. So in fact, you can really look a little more here. And algebraic varieties have another very special thing. Because if you embed them in projective space, they have a special class of happy plane section. But this thing is not intrinsic. It depends on your embedding. So as you embed into different projective space, that means the set of solutions also the same as the set of solutions on different system of algebraic equation. Then you change your happy plane. So it's not really kind of canonical, it's not intrinsic to variety. But there's something on algebraic variety which is a canonical cosmology class, and this is called canonical class. And it's even called like that, because it's canonical. And this is kind of main hero in algebraic geometry. Kind of the most important properties of algebraic varieties can be expressed in terms of this canonical class. So what is this kind of object? So again, it came from topology or from differential geometry. So differential geometry or topology, you consider the tangent space. As soon as you have a manifold, you have a tangent vector point. So, so it's a fiber of the point which is a tangent space of your manifold. So it's a real vector space. But if your variety, if your manifold equipped with a complex structure, then you can put structure for complex vector bundle. It means just your kind of your fibers will be complex vector spaces. And just so this is kind of will be agreeable with the complex structure of your manifold X. So if it's just a algebraic variety, or just then this tangent bundle decrypts the structure of algebraic variety. It means your fiber has to consider being just a kind of affine spaces. And so this is all becomes algebraic variety. So what we can do this thing just there is a notion in the topology just the first chunk class. So to every tangent bundle, I think we can associate certain class that belongs to H2. Called first check class. There are some other check classes, but this is called. We've studied it in any course on algebraic topology. But if this is algebraic variety, it has a really special property that this is class of type in the middle of Cauchy decomposition. So this is class becomes H11. So it's algebraic. This doesn't depend on any Hodge conjecture. This is the real thing. So this is becomes an algebraic one. And so this is just special topology class, which doesn't depend on anything. Doesn't depend on any embedding. You just tangent bundle, you take your chair class and get yourself some special area, whatever you get. So usually in algebraic geometry, we prefer to take minus of this. So this is equal to minus. It can be defined without any topology. This is just pure algebraic varieties can be studied not only complex numbers, but for any field. And this exists always. You have to be a little more clear to define. Okay, so all algebraic varieties really differ. Like if you want to classify them, of course, completely impossible to classify them. But the main tool to in classification is played by this canonical class. So what I do first of all, I give myself a special element in my space. So I take Kx and cup itself, because it's H11. I cup itself m times, and then I'm here. In fact, I'm really, if I take modular torsion somehow, just if I take the corresponding image here and tends up with real numbers. I really get it's just the class in the. For example, for surfaces, of course, you don't need to do anything. N is equal to 1. And just first chain class will be just linear combination of curves. So, but now what you can do is you can now cup it itself. Because now we have a bearing, right? So this call is just maybe just small k. Now you get yourself in the middle cohomology. But middle cohomology has a quadratic form. Middle algebraic cohomology. This is my page, right? Which really goes to the MX. This is me. So I can really look what will be here. And of course, there will be three possible cases. This will be positive. This will be zero. So there are already three possibilities. Either self-intersection of this in fact will be F self-intersection, two F self-intersections. Positive or negative. Again, it's not enough. So now suppose this is a positive. Okay, now we have an element in my Euclidean space, Lorentzian space, or just of this lattice, whose norm is positive. If you take orthogonal complex, it will be negative definite. But by definition of canonicity of this canonical class, every automorphism should preserve. So this is always G star of Kx, is always Kx, or any G in automorphism. So now we have an orthogonal transformation of your space of signature 1n, which preserves one reactor with positive norm. So it preserves orthogonal complement. But orthogonal group of negative definite integral lattice is fine, because an orthogonal group of positive inner probability spaces is compact group. And there are no infinite set of like discrete sets of this compactor. So here my now area afterwards will represent an orthogonal complement. So I can replace this by an orthogonal complement, and this is finite group. So the image will be finite group. And this is not interesting, so we kind of discard this. Groups are not interesting from the point of hyperbolic chart. Very interesting in examples of infinite groups of morphisms. So we said, so this case is not interesting. So we have to kind of discard this. For purposes of an interesting relation with hyperbolic geometry, this is cases I'm not interested. So this is case is not interesting either, I think. Oh, just left. A little more interesting, but it's not that kind of interesting. So because, okay, think about the linealogy. If a hyperbolic space with signature 1n, and then I'll take vector of 0 norm, right? And then, of course, if you take this vector, you take like kx perpendicular, right? And of course, kx will be there, right? But if you factor by this kx, right, then you will end with negative definite lattice, right? Okay. But of course, my group will naturally act here, okay? And it goes again into orthogonal group of negative definite lattice, which is a finite, right? What will be the kernel? The kernel will be just kind of translation by this kx. So my group will be just something like pre-abelian group extension. And this will be just kind of g, will be, this will be fine. Such groups are sometimes called so elementary groups. So just up to finite groups, they're just free abelian groups of finite back. So this case, of course, also studied in hyperbolic geometry, but it's always very often also considered as not interesting case. They discard this case and don't study elementary groups. So we should discard this either. So now you're left with the, not quite. Because of course the fourth class, for the this is just completely zero. Of course then there's nothing what you do here, right? Okay. So it's still squared zero, but it's just vector is zero. Okay. Then I don't do nothing, I think, just so this is just still interesting. So this will say just canonic losses numerically three. So there are two cases which are left to us. Of algebraic horizon, either this property or this property. So, okay, now I think I just, because it will be easy to switch to dimension two, because otherwise it still becomes very complicated. And this was called theory of minimum moment, I have to admit. So this is again one of the most interesting parts of algebraic geometry, which we inherited from Italian algebraic geometry in the 19th century, but was rigorously developed by Paul Skarżyński for surfaces. And now, of course, we generalize it for the like for threefold and gave Hilt's method to Mori and just for varieties of arbitrary dimension. I don't know why they'll give Hilt's method to anybody, but it's, of course, great achievement which we have now. But so for surfaces, this is just very non-trivial thing, but so all surfaces can be just look like that. So for every algebraic surface, you can do the following thing. There will be some map surface to XY, which is a, well, okay, sorry, but I have to use some. Again, there are a lot of difficulties in algebraic geometry. There are a lot of terminology. It's difficult to remember. This could be birational map. So what does it mean, birational map? It's still kind of map which is given by rational functions. But if you throw away something from X and throw away something from Y, this will be isomorphism. It will be merging. And given by rational functions, it's okay, defined everywhere. But given by rational functions, such a map can be merged as a rational. So just you can always possible to move to find such map to another surface, Y, which of two different categories. So on this surface, your ky has a following property. If you okay, I'll do this surface now, so I don't go to f power. If you take class of any curve, what curve? Just a curve. Then there will be nothing. And we say just that ky is f. Or the either this or y has the following property. Y can be mapped to CP1. And all fibers are CP1s. So sorry, to a curve, to some curve. Sorry, to a Riemann surface. And all fibers are CP1. So we say it's a T1 bump over some curve. And there's a third case when just C1 is just CP2. Okay. So every surface some kind of, and this in this case, one is uniquely defined. So it's kind of minimum model is unique after isomorphism. So it tells you just very easily, but if you want to study automorphism of X, so you have to really, it's really a group of automorphism of X will be some group of automorphism of Y. In fact, you can see that there's a finite index. Okay, so if you want to study discrete groups coming from automorphism, you better stick with minimal models, with this one. Okay. For, in this case, this is, you'll see just if C is not CP1, then every automorphism of kind of, okay, just let me just drop it. Say, this is not interesting, believe me. Okay. Because I don't think I can explain. I should go into it. So the only kind of interesting case will be just this is a case. So this is a case, not interesting. Yes? It doesn't lead to any interesting groups. Okay. I think in this case, you have a group of algebraic. If C is a curve of genus greater than zero, in fact, it doesn't matter. So then just group will be algebraic. The number of connected components will be finite. And so just again, gamma will be finite group very much. Interesting. So this is interesting. So there will be really the following interesting cases where you may assume that KY satisfies this property. And then, of course, we discarded this case. I'm not using this case. So it leaves me in this case that also KX is equal to zero numerically, just equal to zero. So. Okay. Yeah, in this case, you just also show that in this case, your k squared, ky squared is also positive. Okay. So this leaves me with this case, all this case, all x is in the micro CP2. And then called in this case, one. So it works on points, it's okay, I'll explain this later. So, okay, now again, you go to find a classification of algebraic surfaces and see what will be this, all surfaces which satisfy this property. The canonical class is a okay, numerical this image here, is zero vector, and satisfy this property. And again, this, we go back, and this is another reason why algebraic geometry is beautiful subject. I don't know why I keep repeating this. But this is because this was done again in the 19th century by Italian mathematicians who really subdivided the case in different cases. So Federico Enricus is one of the masters of Italian algebraic geometry. And not only algebraic geometry, I think. Yeah. So he proved the beautiful theorem, which really classifies the surface. So if you have a kx is equal to zero, and kx is net, otherwise you have to then log, sorry. Then there are four classes of surfaces. So one surface is called abelian surfaces. So our complex field which looks very similar is algebraic total. You take two-dimensional complex space and pick up a lattice, so just take some free abelian group of rank 4, which sits in C2, such that the orbit spaces come back. Okay. This is just only complex algebraic torus. But you put some condition on this group, which allows you to embed in the projected space. And there is a condition given by Frobenius in 19th century, too. So and then this is what we call abelian surface. But topologically, it looks like a torus, like considering four copies of C1 topologically. So the second kind is really very, very famous class, not only in mathematics, but also in physics. This is called K3 surface. Because by examples, I was called two-dimensional Calabi-Yau. So this is K3 surfaces. They satisfy the following property. This, again, the whole canonical class, not only it's imaged into this lattice, marginal and cardinality lattice, but the whole canonical class is zero. And also it has this property if you take the area of Poincaré characteristic, okay, as a double manual, is equal to 24. Okay. Or you can characterize by the condition that second density number is equal to 24. Okay. it's just topological condition. So this is some manifold, two-dimensional manifold. As a complex manifold, the Hertzsprung class is zero vector. But topologically, it has such a error amount. So the third class is my Osovich. I write book, but this is not a Enrique surface. So they are almost like K3. They have this property. If you multiply by 2, you have the quantity. Then it becomes 0. So, of course, again, modular torsion, this is always 0. But it's okay. But now the topology is different. So, error characteristic of X is equal to 12. For second, that is equivalent. Second number is equal to 10. In fact, they make, this makes sense in our any field, not necessarily complex field. Because we know what does it mean to say what is error characteristic in any or any using the metallic technology, what's the Betti number, so that makes sense for any field and that must be covered. And so and the fourth class, this is a kind of rather trivial class which is completely not interesting. It's called biellitic series. So for them they're just like P2 of S. So they're not completely interesting in our study because I thought we'll be fine. And they don't give any relation to the report. This is kind of a case where we have to discover. I never like this. They can sell it down. But this is really so okay, so let me give you now examples. Okay, so this is so like
crossing off because they're boring, not because they're hard. Crossing off because they're boring, not because they're hard.
Yeah, they're not, they're boring and it's not hard. So they're really easy surfaces.
Now, why did you go from X, from the Y to the X here in this case?
So this is just because we go to Y, I think, because this is the description of for surfaces which already have to you.
Right.
It really is the Y over there.
Yeah, this is, oh yeah, sorry. That's right. This is now because it's right.
And you're not interested.
Okay, now this is what I assume, right? So this must be already Y.
You're not interested in the case where x gives.
No. Because kx will be just changed. We know how it changes. If I know this k is y, I know what will be combined plus x. But I will be interested in y because automorphous group of x will be subgroup of finite index automorphous of y. So just I don't care about x in this case. Okay, so let me just give you again. So just what we started talking about last time. So the most interesting example of motions of hyperbolic space are reflections. So reflection, again, so you probably know from good courses of algebraic of linear algebra, and the group is generated by reflections. All motions. So reflection just transformation takes sense the vector v to v minus 2 e e. E the e is some vector. So I see just when v is equal to e, it's reflexive. Plug in v is equal to e, then we'll get minus e, right? Okay? But if v is perpendicular to e, nothing changes, right? So it's just called a mirror. Okay? To reflect. And again, since we want to do this kind of reflection in hyperbolic space, I don't want e squared to be positive, because then vectors which are kind of perpendicular, these mirrors which doesn't intersect my hyperbolic space, because they will be names. Hyperbolic space consists of vectors. Positive, no, not. So I really have to kind of assume that E is just negative. So I might study groups generated by this reflection. So this was defined intuitively as a Cox, but discrete groups generated by this. But of course, if this is my group gamma, contains reflections, and then gamma is also preserves some lattice, and that's what I need to study this. Then you have to kind of have reflection which preserves the slices. And of course, you can always, reflection doesn't depend on scale multiple of E. If you just formal kind of homogeneous, if you multiply by lambda, nothing will change. Right? So I can always choose E which belongs to my E. And I always assume to put it in there. But then conditional still remains because I plug-in vector from M, I should get vector from M, right? Okay, but how to satisfy this? I have to do this at DP divided by the norm. Belongs to Z, right? For all the and this kind of condition of integrality, and if vector E satisfies this condition, we call it root. If this is true. And it has come with any different log. This P here could be different. Okay, so just let me just now, maybe, I don't know, what's the plan?
What's the time passed already? Yeah, so time has passed. Why don't we take a break? As usual, geometry seminar will have continuation after a few minutes. And also, we'll go out for dinner tonight. If you're interested, come talk to me. So, take a break.
I think you're doing pretty good.
Will be Z. And Z will be generated by this class, so that's what you go on. Okay, so I call it say E1. So this class will be just one. Class is this whole sometimes exception device. So now the second base now becomes one more. Becomes two, okay. And now, what happens with quadratic form? Of course, here just this is generated by your e zero, and e zero square, of course, is positive, just is equal to one, because what's the product of a line with itself? You move line and intersect, and they intersect at one point, right? So, but if you look at what is e one square, it's less trivial. But you see that this is just e one square will be equal to negative one. And also they will be orthogonal. So you see now we're really getting hyperbolic signature, right? So now this is already rank 2, so I can always consider real coefficients and go to this pseudo-Euclidean space. And now signature becomes really just a prime 1. In this coordinates, the quadratic form of the place, and so it has signature 1. Right? Okay, but okay, so what's next? Go off again. Okay? So now I start doing this again and again. Not necessarily here. I may take point here and repeat this thing. I may take point here, repeat this thing. And do this until I stop just after 5 minutes. And still every time you do it like inductive, you're getting yourself new algebraic set. And see this way just you're really getting very nice logic. So now I think you can do this, and then just you can continue this way. And you see, this of course comes embedding of this thing to here comes as taking pre-image. Like in cosmology, if you have one manifold, perhaps another manifold, you also take the pre-image of cosmology, the full pre-image. So, just, so you see, just now you're really getting really nice. Now you get, like, for example, you go n times. And this is your quadratic form, this is your life. This will be like H2. H2. And this is quadratic form. So you see, this is just now not only just some quadratic form, just the standard quadratic form. If you consider the reals, you get the standard Lorentzian quadratic form. But also what you see just here, just so now I think my group, after Morse, so this is what I said just here. It's enough to study here group because automorphic group of X is a finite index in the automorphic group of Y. This is not true anymore in this case. It's only true under this assumption because there's a unique minimum model. This is, of course, not true anymore because there's no real automorphism interesting of CP2, but automorphism of CP2, you just project in the group, usually 3. And this is algebraic group, it's connected group, so there's no connected component. There's no group of connected components, so of course it's a group. At least it's not interesting from the point of morphisms. But this group could be bigger. Okay, so this group could be bigger. So if you go up, then you acquire some aftermorphism. So just, you, in fact, let's see for the following thing. Just like take canonical class now. and see what happens to command class. You start with command class of CP2. And it's very easy to see because you really look at the stage and bundle, look at the term class and just see what it is. This is just equal to minus T easy. Okay, so this is a canonical class of CP2, it's minus three class of the line, automatically. So this was one. And now you'll see what happens with your canonical class when you just blow up. And again, this is also rather elementary, but always from definition. Then you'll start adding this class. Okay. And this will become my class number one. Next. So the X now blown. So go up and back. Okay. Okay, but remember what I said just now we have to compute its square, no? Okay, that's very easy, right? This is an orthogonal basis, right? V0 squared is 1, Vi squared is negative 1, and they're perpendicular, right? So, of course, you'll get this form, which is like 9 minus 7. Right? Because the standard orthonormal in this Lorentzian metric, it's an orthonormal basis, right? So, you see, just remember I told you, just if this number is a positive, then your really group acts as an orthogonal complement. When an orthogonal complement becomes negative different, it's not an interesting case. It becomes a finite group. The group of connected components becomes fine. So interesting, again, I will say L is equal to 9. It's more interesting, but it also leads to elementary group, because I already explained in the first hour. If this number is 0, then I go to orthogonal complement of this isotropic vector divided by this vector. And this is kind of leads you to free abelian loop up to. So interesting things start when n greater than 9. Okay. So as soon as you blow up more than 9 points, so 10 points on CP2, there is a chance that automorphous group represented in this orthogonal complement, such as automorphous group of my Russian circuits, which is mapped to the orthogonal group of this Kx perpendicular. So this becomes image. And this is an example which we want to find. Okay. We do know some of these beautiful examples again since the beginning of the last century. Okay? So, okay, but you must be very clever to find which points you're blowing up. So, there's a theorem which belongs to what has been called the modern time, but I think it belongs to.
Need some better chalk?
Yeah, that's okay. So there's a theorem after Kolbe. This is about 1917. Which tells you if points, n points, and n points chosen generically. I don't want to explain what it means, but close your eyes, pick up 10 points. Yes, don't put any condition. Just take points with projective contents of CP2 and don't look. Then there's no signatures. Mm-hmm. You won't have any signatures. It's true. Okay, so just then, of course, you're not getting it. So if you really want examples, then you better find a clever way to take this more than 9 points, such that this surface acquires automorphism. Okay, so I'll come to this later, just to this example, okay, where I'll give you an example of such, it's called also Kolbe. First, we came up to a surface whose not only just gives you group, interim group, but very beautiful group which is related to some reflection group in hyperbolic space. Okay, but let me just give you. Okay, you also see like what's the example of Daniel, what it means to do it. This is also kind of not easy. Easy example, this is another simple circuit, product of two CP1s. So if you take homogeneous coordinates here on CP1, just like that, homogeneous coordinates of projective line, so I can use this kind of function for U0, U0, W1, U1, U0, and U1. You will be able to embed this into P3 in the image squad. And of course, the circuit has a rulings, because if you take the finders of the projection to CT1, the Cartoon projection, they correspond to lines on your quadrant. And of course, you also see these pictures of hyperboloids. And this is the two fragments of lines. So that's how we see this quadrant. So this is a, but of course, I have to draw, this is a real picture of this quadrant. But complex picture, of course, I can't do that. But so this is just ideas of this thing. So it has two families of lines, and just one family of lines don't intersect and in each frame, but each line for one family intersects the other line, the quantity one. And you see just there is no interesting geometry of the surface, because all cohomology classes will be either class of this line or class of this line. So just so in this case your H2 of your surface, you see this is kind of class for one line and class of the other line. And of course, inner product, just like how would they cut, it's very easy to see this is self-perceptual B0. Because I have fiber of this projection, so topologically, it's kind of compass normal bundle, it's trivial. So it's not B0, so this must be 0. But two lines intersect at one point, not the one. And so this is what we call the quadratic form, for which you can choose a basis with this property, usually denoted by U, and called hyperbolic plane. But this is hyperbolic plane kind of in the sense of linear algebra, not in the sense of hyperbolic geometry. Yesterday, I drew the picture of Poincaré model yesterday, but hyperbolic Poincaré model, a plane model which we call hyperbolic plane. It's just
H2. You don't know where the terrible terminology came from, do you?
I don't know, maybe just this came from algebraic geometry. But no, but it's also linear algebra, of course. You all learned this kind of theorem, I hope. In algebra, when we study this space of different signature quadratic form, then there's a split, the space of direct sum of hyperbolic planes, right? So this is an integral hyperbolic plane. If you take it over reals, this is just what's called the split any quadratic space as a sum of this hyperbolic plane. Okay, so you see, of course, the orthogonal group is very simple, this, and it's fine. And so, just, so this example, of course, is not good for us. But we can again do the same thing what I do it here for the plane, start going up. But you see that this is just exactly, it's again nothing interesting, because let's see what happens if I blow up once. So I can draw this picture, this I see product of CP1 is something like this. Okay, so this will be one ruling, so there will be another ruling. This is just product of P1 cross P1, right? Okay, suppose I take a point and blow it up. Okay, so this point will lie in the intersection of two lines. Every point lies in the intersection of two lines, right? You see, when I blow up, I get kind of this line, and this line will be here, and this line will, I'm not very good. My students always hate it when I start drawing pictures. So you see, just now these lines don't intersect, because before that they intersect, when I just blow up, and this line will be here, right? Another line will be here, okay? And then you see again, this is simple algebraic geometry. Again, you learn it in first semester. If you all study algebraic geometry, you see what helped us self-coupled product of this line. So this curve was, when you blow it up, you'll get a new, what we call proper inverse image. And this will be self, so this will be my kind of, my fiber, that kind of proper. And now if you cut it yourself, it will be equal to negative one. And it's also negative. When you blow off, it's always negative one. After that, what you will be able to do, you can hold this down. Yes. And this becomes negative. Okay, so this always becomes kind of negative. The image of this line passes from this point. mean it's a vertical line bicycle display, and the line which we insert, both becomes negative one. What we do just have that roll down, this minus one and this minus one. And you see then, when I go up like this quadric, I blow this up. Then after I blow up this two, I go to C3. So after first blow up, you get a surface, which I also can get as a blow up of a projective plane. In fact, I have 2 points. And again, this is very nice example, because this is what I'm doing when I do the sphere packings. Next lecture, I think, just Apollonian gaskets and more things related to hyperbolic geometry. This is very, very important thing. So this is really tells you that there is a way to map P2. Okay, I don't put it C, because we'll be applying to real maps. You can find the map, which is not defined at every, you have to like blow up 2 points to the quadric in P3. In fact, you can do it in any dimension. So there is a map from PN to the quadric which sits in PN plus one. So the inverse of this map is just projection. You take a quadric in M plus one dimensional space, we think it's a kind of sphere, real point. And this is stereographic projection. You project from this point, and I already explained it just now, and you go to the plane, but you have to have 1 point at infinity. And this kind of inverse map from the quadric in P3 to the projective plane. So this example of this transformation. So when you get this kind of map, after you, this is corresponds to projection. This is my quadric. Projection from the point, which is the kind of go up, and then you go down. This is just projection from the point to the projective plane. So you see, this case is not interesting because it's reduced to this case. Instead of blowing up 1 point on the quadric, I blow up 2 points on P2, and this is the same result. So I better stick to P2. Okay. So this case, then. Okay, let me just give you a really non-trivial case. This is kind of very important, very instructive. I want to give you kind of examples how these reflections can be realized in algebraic geometry. So what algebraic geometry and how he thinks about these reflections, axometries in hyperbolic space, how will it realize them in algebraic geometry? So okay, I hope you will be aware of it. Okay, so as I said, algebraic varieties always considered as a complex manifold. They don't have any singular point. But we never kind of, if we kind of limit ourselves from this variety, I think I'm sure won't go very far. We have to sometimes admit bad points on algebraic variety. So, for example, you take equation, something like this, z squared plus z2 squared plus z3 squared, and put some kind of parameter. And this is kind of quadric, complex quadric, because like homogeneous equation of degree 2, this gives you a quadric in P3. And I put here parameters, t. So, but this is kind of when t is not equal to 0, it's complex manifold. To check that's complex manifold, we have to do this what we do in calculus. You take partial derivatives and see there's an agent space here, which is a correlation one. But not all partials simultaneously equal to 0. This is what does it mean. There's no similar point. But when t is equal to 0, of course, it becomes a cone. But before that, it was a quadric. But now when you specialize t is equal to 0, it becomes a cone. Okay. And this point is just a singular point, because there's no complex parameters here to make a local isomorphic to disk in C2. So it's not many. It's kind of, it's why we call variety, not manifold. Algebraic variety doesn't necessarily mean it's don't see. So in fact, you can rewrite this equation and by changing coordinates, like something like z2 plus z2 plus z squared. So this is kind of typical singularity of algebraic variety, which is the simplest possible. So you can do every other singularity is worse in some sense, because like in the case of like when algebraic variety given by one equation, space. What you do just you take a point and then just kind of take Taylor expansion at this point. And this is means the quadratic part of your Taylor expression is non-digital quadratic form. So it means non-digital sometimes in a complex analysis called non-digital critical point of the quadratic equation. So many surfaces in algebraic geometry arises as singular surfaces. In fact, Italian algebraic geometers always were dealing with singular surfaces. And by kind of, they knew how to substitute all these notions of non-singular varieties to the singular model. So for example, one of the most beautiful examples is just in algebraic geometry, and again in physics, this is Kummer surface. Again, it goes back to, you see, the Kummer, which is like a middle of 19th century. So what you do just, you take the torus, and I already have this thing, and take the lattice in this torus. So the lattice will be just free abelian group, which gives you a kind of fundamental polypipic for the translation in respect of free abelian group. So this is my torus. And I assume this algebraic torus, so this is kind of embedded in projects. But what I can do is take transformation. Just take z1, z2, and send them to minus z1, minus z2. Okay. Obviously, this transformation of c2, but it kind of descends to the core, because lattice goes to itself. And take the core. So take the orbit space. Take the core by simply grouping it in this. So it's obviously has 16 singular fixed points, because when your z1, z2 belongs to 1, 2 or the slides, or the slides. So when you replace it by minus z1, minus z2, it will be fixed. Okay. But when it's fixed, so just you see what will be the orbit space locally. So it acquires singularity exactly of this kind. So how to see it? So to see what's the quotient, you have to look at all holomorphic functions which is invariant with respect to this evolution. This will be a ring of holomorphic function of complex variety, which is not negative. And so just you see what, of course, what the invariant function just will be V1 squared, right? Or Z1 squared. Z1 squared, right? Z2 squared, right? Obviously invariant. It's like even function, right? Even. And of course Z1, Z2, right? This will be like W1. But now you see, if you multiply W1 times W2, you get W3 squared, right? So you get exactly this equation after the minus test. Okay? So this exactly acquires the quotient, acquires this singularity, which sometimes we call conical singularity. But again, in algebraic geometry, there is a process how to resolve the singularity. So if you have a cone, and this is very beautiful, again, it's very classical. In fact, this probably goes back to just to Greeks, I think. So how you resolve this equation? Again, the same idea. You want to delete this point, put something from this point, and put a complex structure there. Okay. So what you do is you kind of you replace this point by your base of your cone. Okay. You get this curve over which your cone is. But this one you do instead of this point. And the union becomes complex surface, not simple complex surface. So that you do with this kind of quotient and get your surface there. This is Kummer surface. This is the Kummer surface. So if this was algebraic variety, this is a real surface, this is also algebraic surface. So, but this particular Kummer surface, which are extremely beautiful. This is comes from theory of Riemann surfaces. So the story occur in the. Okay, maybe I'll push. It's Jacobian variety. Okay, but that's too much. You won't get happy because I don't want to make you happy. Okay, so let me just say there are some special choice of this lattice, which is really a very important choice in whole mathematics. So when you will be able not just embedded in some projective space, but you will be embedded into V3. So this, there is an example of this such lattice. Okay. So it depends on the choice of this lattice. Okay. So you will be likely to embed it into V3. because this is surface, this is three-dimensional, this is surface, must be given by one equation. So you come up with some equation, right? And you see that it's an equation of degree 4. So what you call vortex surface. But of course, it has a singular point. In fact, you know how many of them, because what's this group? Because this is a free abelian group of rank 4. So this is, you see that this will be 4 copies of Z2. So you have 16 points. They correspond to fixed points. So this is has 16, and sometimes this conical points, conical point. The classical call them nodes. They kind of parallel what we study in couples. Curve has this kind of situation. And this is back, this is called custom. This is more complicated. Okay, so this is kind of, this is a, you can write down very nice equation on this surface, which depends on the three parameters. And so, okay, but what should we do with this? So now this is supposed to have a quartic surface which has this conical singularity. Okay, so that quartic is important. So what should we do? So take a point on my surface and join by the line. Okay, now imagine you have a line. So this just depends on one parameter. We restrict the equation to this line, right? And solution will be 4 roots of this corresponding equation in one variable, right? Homogeneous equation. So you expect that every line intersects this quartic surface at 4 points, because this is classical Bezout theory. Okay. So if you take generic line, well, sometimes it will be multiplicity, but expect 4 solutions. But if you pass this line from this bad point, you have to take the solution as multiplicity 2. So then just kind of residually will be some other point. So you have now x, and now we have the same point x prime. Of course, at this point will be equal to x. Will be another point of double multiplicity, right? But you obviously have a transformation. You have a transformation. And so this, but of course, this transformation is not defined at this point. So it's not really automorphism of the surface, because I don't know what to do if I start with x here, right? Which line I choose.
What was the transformation?
So just take any point on my surface. Join this point with a line.
Ah,
take the residual line. So now we call this quite point like O, X, X prime, collinear. Okay. So, but again, I didn't tell you just another good thing about this
minimum. Swap X and X prime.
Another good thing about minimum model. So if you resolve the singularity, so you view that work, like for example, vortex surfaces. So it will be automorphous, but not on the surface, but after you to this operation. Okay, so it really comes, for example, if you resolve the six and singularities. So this will be a surface which indicates this surface. So I can really show the canonical class is zero. So it's really defined by automorphism only after it extends to automorphism only but when you improve the singularities. But let's see that this is a real reflection. Okay. So what I do is I kind of assume generically. So not even this example, because I do it kind of step by step in this case. Step by one. And essentially, I take some lattice of cosmologies. I take a Hilbert section, again, H. And then I take the class of this curve which you get from singular points. So this will be like call this curve. So you can really show again in this class that just again h squared will be equal to 4. Because again it's clear, because what will be self-intersection? H is a plane in P3. Intersect two planes will be line. Now line hits your surface at 4 points. And this means the self-intersection of this vector, cup product of hyperplane sections is equal to 4. It's always equal to degree of this. This is less trivial, but it will show that is again h squared, I think I know. EE is equal to minus 2. Okay, this is less, and again I skip it. It's less more difficult to explain, and I'm not going to explain this. And in fact, E is isomorphic to CP1. In fact, there is a converse theorem. If you have any CP1 sitting on this complex surface, whose cup product of itself is equal to minus 1, it arises in this way, it can boil down to the quadratic singularity. And of course, now, because you can always move hyperconceptually away from this point, obviously they are talking, right? Now, what I claim that my transformation acts in this space by the following way: 3 minus 4, 2 minus 3. So this will be a matrix of transformation, this my transformation. Because you write down any transformation, so, and the kind of, it's a leaves all other classes in there. Okay, so only on this part generated by A and E, something is going to be interesting. On the other part, it's a kind of identity on the orthogonal. Okay, so just I'll do it today. But you see, obviously, this matrix is inimaginable, right? Absolute value of the term is equal to negative. It's a good sign, right? Because it's invertible as an integer matrix, right? Okay. So it's already not bad, right? Okay.
And it's a reflection in this particular root, or?
Yeah, okay. Now let's say that this matrix is just matrix of reflection. So now I take the root, so you call it R, which will be class of H minus 2. Oh. Okay? So let's compute what will be in the product of itself. This is 4, right? But they are orthogonal, right? E squared is minus 2, it's minus 8, right? So it's equal to minus 4, right? So this will be class, cohomology class. It's not represented by any, it's a represented by linear combination of some curves, for example, like this, right? It's not represented by class of one particular curve, because if you have a class particular curve, it is very rarely it could be negative, usually. But of course, it could be like this. This is not a class of any particular curve. There's no such curve on the surface of this self-intersection. So just I claim this matrix is exactly reflection with respect to this object. Okay, let's check. So let's check the formula. Maybe we'll stop here because I'm sure. Okay, so take any class, or X is the last point. Take any class gamma, right? But the class is just linear combination of this class. So remember the formula. This will be my gamma minus gamma alpha, right? Divided by alpha alpha. Well, this is how reflection.
With a 2 in it.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, so of course it's enough to check it on the basis, right? So I take my gamma is equal to H, right? Okay, S alpha of H is equal to H minus I intersect with H. That's what I repeat. H squared is 4 and it's perpendicular, so it's 4, right? Right? Divide by minus 4, right? Okay. And take my class, which is H minus 2, right? So I get, I hope it's okay. Plus 2, H. Yeah, it's okay, right? So it's the H minus 4. Wait, right, so it's the first column of this matrix, right? Okay? And now I take S alpha of E, right? And B minus twice E alpha minus 4, right? H minus 3, but E alpha, I take the intersection, like H E is 0, right? The perpendicular. Q minus 2, so plus 4, right? Again, the same form. So now I'll get E plus 8, yeah, times 2. So H minus 2. Okay. So see, this is an example of a reflection, which here I can realize. Now, remember my Coomber surface has 16 such points. So what I can do, I can take for every 16 points, I get choose this vector alpha I, right? And choose corresponding reflection. And of course, I have another example of surfaces which have vector vortex surfaces with any number of nodes, but 16 is a record. You can never get an equation of degree 4 which has more than 16 nodes. 16 is a record, and I achieved for Coomber surface. But any other number of nodes can be realized easily by this, from this vortex equation. Okay, so just now I already checked that this is just in this case, if you take the composition of this, this will get more than infinite order. Somehow, if you take two matrices like that, but write it in different ways, you add one more node. Write one transformation corresponding to one node, one transformation to another. And they don't commute, and just you take the product, this will make of infinite order. Right? So now what you're getting, the group generated by 16 reflections, right? This every element is, of course, involution. Of course, this map is involution, right? This matrix of order 2. X prime goes to X, right? I square this matrix, and again, I did. So just you really get the group, which consists of generated by 16 involutions, and the product of any two involutions is a, it's not a finite order, no other relation. So just so the group will be just like Z1, not 2. It's free product of this group. So this is the group which is a, what we call universal.
The only relation is just that the squares are right.
Yeah, the only relation. In fact, this was called universal Coxeter group. Okay, so I'll talk about Coxeter groups next week, I think. So this is an example of what's called universal Coxeter group of 16. So every Coxeter group is a, with like 16 vertices.
Is this the automorphism group of the Coomber?
No. The automorphism group of a generic Coomber surface. No, it was described using the geometry of Lich lattice, and this is very beautiful. And so it's just part of this thing. It's part of this. It's more, much more complicated because there are many more different automorphisms of Coomber surface. So this
can any minus two curve be taken to be part of a family of 16 nodes in such a description?
No, yeah, because they come through 16 nodes. So just
oh, I see. Of course, there's loads more minus two curves.
Yeah, but I mean, there might be. Yeah.
No, of course, there's infinite.
There's lots of infinite, but is every minus two curve equivalent to one of these 16 in biosymmetry?
Well, inside of the Morse group, yes. So every combination of 16 points, 16 disjoint curves, so just it's one off.
Yeah, but he's asking if you have a minus two curve on this. On the surface, can you always find, for example, 15 other disjoint ones?
No.
Oh, no.
Okay, so this example, again, Coxeter groups, which really, in fact, what I'll do on Tuesday, just, it's really, for example, I can do the same thing with, like, for example, four group. And this group is what's realized that was called Apollonian gasket, I think. Leads to a very beautiful sphere packing of two-dimensional space, but circles which never overlap. So this is an example of how this same kind of group appears in algebraic geometry. So just one more, actually, because the next week I start a different topic with this concept of groups and this Apollonian gasket trapezius. So if you have a time, just look at your cell phones and Google this Apollonian gasket and see what kind of beautiful picture you'll find. And that's what I expect next week. But just one more kind of example I wanted to say, just so it's also really, but maybe not, maybe I'll just I'll stop here.
So. Okay. Thank you. Any questions?
So I suppose the Coomber has loads of realizations. Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
example is the same. You can make it, in fact, resolved in such a way that the surface becomes a conception of three quadrics and three quadrics. Smooth. And then you see the 16 curves which I added to this knot, 16 lines. Just skew lines.
No, what I meant was, are there other, does it have just this one bunch of 16 disjoint minus two curves, or are there loads of them?
No, loads of them, because it's a Morse group hangs on there. It's very big at the Morse group.
Yeah, you said it was.
Yes, yeah, so that yeah. Was.
But and I mean, does that give the whole group? If you sort of knew all the 16s, would you get the whole group?
Or? No. Oh, no. Now that's some beautiful transformation, which is like the Cremon transformation in P3 by 2. But I think it was described by Shigeru Kono. Just dance is very beautiful. In fact, just this was a. So again, that's. Most of this thing after very German, it has a very long story. I think that Felix Klein just asked this question about this, what's the old symmetries of the Cooper surface? And of course, he meant really a resolution of similarities. Because in this case, this is a automorphous group is the group of Banachian transformations of the surface. And so asked what's the group of Banachian transformation of Cooper surface, and he found some suggested some group, which for example some of this was in this transformation, so after this group. There's some other natural thing, for example, Cooper surface, together with 16 lines in this model, there's another 16 lines, which each line intersects six other lines, and they form kind of abstract configuration, 16-6. And so with two sets of disjoint lines, each line from one set intersects six lines of one other, in this kind of symmetrical configuration. So there's a transformation which switches them. And this is switch. Okay, so you have to add to this transformation. And so there are some other transformations which I can explain easily come from equations using some Cremon transformation. And he conjectured that this is, and there is a translation, because abelian surface admits translations, and they descend to the quotient. And he conjectured this is all. So the whole Morse group is generated by this thing. And then my student of his thesis, whom, a long time ago, I think, already. So construct of the Morse doesn't belong to this group. It's confused about. Prove this grand conjecture. And said the groups must be large because he found a certain number of automorphisms which is don't belong to this group. Prove that they don't. It was very difficult.
You found them using analog geometry?
Yeah, think of that. And then just Condor showed if you add this new automorphism to this group, this is a whole group.
Yeah.
This is using very beautiful construction by embedding this M1. On this Cooper surface, the rich lattice, and rich lattice less metabolic. I'm using the geometry for each lattice, a combat. So, I think one of the most beautiful papers.
Is it possible for two different abelian varieties to give rise to the same Cooper surface?
Yeah, I think this is the answer. No, listen, it's not. It's
okay. Okay.
So I think there are examples of it. Don't remember. I can tell you. It's not. Just I don't know. Two corporate services, I'm not here for only calculated services.
Okay, any more questions?
You said 16 lines there. What was it you were saying? There's lots of collections of 16 lines.
Yeah, because now there's a symmetry. For example, you take this free group.
Right, you can apply it to any collection.
Yeah, there was the whole configuration goes to another configuration.
And you're saying you get in particular six configurations in this way?
No, just you start with this construction. You write it by equation.
Yeah.
And then you get this 16 resolution. But I think this, the other 16 comes from, just the notes are very special ones. Just the notes will be such a way that just six of these notes will be on the conic. It's called tromp. So the surface admits a conic line on the surface, which passes through six of these notes. When you resolve the singularity by this process, the premature of this conic becomes, will be 16 conics. This will be another thing. Okay, so this is any resolution of this surface leads to this 6-6 configuration, of course, but it's not unique because you can, because if you start applying an automorphous group, you then again embedded to the G3, then new configuration. Get realization the same way of another 6-6 configuration. Well, you can commit it. As a topic group of this thing, it's fine.
Talk to me, please.
Thank you very much. Did you say that the translation?